is. You understand? When you are born in the family, you understand? Don't you take your father's name. Answer me.
Yes.
And if his father's name was Yahweh, his son's name would have to be something similar to it for him to come into family. And Jesus Christ is no part of it. You understand? So it's not true. And there isn't a Jew in the world today that knows anything at all about it, to whom the adoption and the covenants and all was given. And they'll die the death of an outcast dog before they'll accept Jesus Christ, because it is not so. No virtue in it. Now you can swell up if you want to, but that's the truth. You see what I mean? Yeah? And I don't want to argue about it either. I just told you about it. You see? I'm not here this morning to argue with nobody about anything. I'm here to tell you about our report. You understand? And I'm here to show you what I heard in that voice and tell you. See, and it carried me on back. You understand? Carried that vision, carried me clear on back into the Godhead itself, as you call it. You understand? Made me see, listen, folks, understand, and know God as He really is and as He actually exists. That is the thing I have been trying my best to get over to you in this school. I told you repeatedly, this school never would have had it existing had it not been for just that. The truth is offensive. It's offensive to the world. They are not going to accept it. They didn't accept the truth when Yahshua the Messiah, who is the truth himself, you know yourself that the Sanhedrin Council would not accept it. So it's no new thing. You see what I mean? Now here. We have,
repeat what you just read there in the first chapter of Revelation.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Read.
To show unto his servants.
Now, not just to tell him about it, but to show unto his servants. Read.
Things which must shortly come to pass.
Things which must shortly come to pass. Now I want to put some pressure on that. I told you to begin with, there is nothing, not a thing, that is to come to pass, but what hasn't already come to pass. Somebody would jump up and say, listen, you're wrong about that. God beg your pardon, I am not wrong about it. Well, why did you say that? Because if it's a creation, a new creation, you're to come to pass. Yes, to come to pass. Don't you realize, to begin with, when God created this first universe, it was new at that time.
Yeah.
You understand? And the way He created that, you see, is the same way He created new.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
That will come to pass. That in the hereafter. You understand? So then, since it was in the hereafter, it was already in the beginning. You understand what I mean? You see what I mean? See, now when he was here, he only had 2,000 years. You see? See? And I don't want to argue with no idiot about that either. You understand what I'm talking about? I don't want to argue about that. That's 2,000 years. And now it's a perfect plan that's got to repeat itself over and over. Over and over. Now let me get into the core of this. Now John is telling you here, you understand, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave, God looked to show unto his servants, saying which was trying to come to pass. You understand? And he went on further and said this. Now listen, I have to cut some of these things up short, because I want somebody else to have something to say to the things which will shortly come to pass. You understand? Now what is happening is this. Is that purpose is just working over and over, repeated down through the dispensations and ages. Listen carefully. Listen carefully now. You understand? Now here was John, was a woman that was out there on the island of Patmos. You understand? He was out there to hear and to see and in the vision. That's what the man's purpose was there, was to confirm what Moses and them had said about the creation and about the history and about the things that had already been in the past. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now he was, listen, here's what I mean by that. See, Messiah had told the disciples, his apostles, he said, now some of you that the devil will put into prison. You understand? And some of you he will put to death. Ain't that right? Mm-hmm. But said, now be thou faithful unto death and I will give thee a crown of life. You understand that? And so now when he's telling each one of them what all is going to befall them, you understand? Before he ascended. You understand? Then there was one man there, you know, he wanted to know, since he didn't say anything about him, and that was John. You understand? He never told us about what was going to happen to John. Ain't that right? Now, what's going to happen to him? And so he said to him, said, what if I will be retired till I come? What is that to be? But now, his life, the thing I'm trying to tell you is this, his life is preserved. Through all that murderous faith, you understand? Mm-hmm. Through all that imprisonment and through all of the trials and tribulations, God brought him out of it every time so that he could be prepared to be on the Isle of Patmos to receive, you understand, the vision, to confirm what Moses and the prophets had said. You understand? And that the Yahshua the Messiah had fulfilled everything that that Moses and the prophets had said. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Now he had to be a witness to it. You know, I said, that's why he was out there on earth. And I have tried for him to show you this, that in Moses, when he went up into the mountain, afraid to get busy and get that thing out of the way there somehow or another, do something, I'm up against it. You understand what I'm talking about? When Moses went up here into the mountain and he saw that great heavenly anthropomorphic being, as we often express it, or here in Exodus 24:9-10, well, it's in the book. You understand? He said it's in the book that Moses was called in the midst of the cloud. Ain't that right? And then he saw in the midst of the cloud, he saw that figure. Ain't that right? You see what I'm talking about? Up in the mountain, the cloud covered the mountain. And Moses saw it up there. Ain't that right? And now Moses, what he saw in that cloud up there, you understand? Oh, why he was to write in the book. You understand? And the book was to be dedicated. Ain't that right? Sprinkled with blood. It was a covenant. Ain't that right? Mm-hmm. Now then, here he saw him as a great heavenly anthropomorphic being. Now listen close at me, because you see, you don't hear this kind of preaching and teaching often. You understand? Now what Moses seen as pertaining to the creation, I'm talking about the physical universe now. Mm-hmm. He said that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth and the water. Ain't that nothing? And I'm just making a long story short and trying to tell you how you so you can see it. You understand? The first chapter of Genesis, he's writing what he saw in the vision. Right. You understand? Down there, Moses didn't know anything more about what God did on the first day, second day. In fact of the matter, God never done nothing on no day, no. You understand? God created the universe in the realm of eternity. He didn't create it in no day. Nothing like that. You see what I'm talking about? Because God has to have a day in order to create a day within a day. You understand what I'm talking about? And that is in the realm of eternity. This universe that didn't come in existence in no day. Nothing like that. Now God inhabited eternity. And when Moses entered into the midst of that cloud, you understand? And there he heard. You understand? Just like John heard on the Isle of Patmos. You understand that John said, I heard a voice from heaven. Here's Moses back here. Here's a voice from heaven. He said, I heard. You understand? And he said, and the voice said, let there be light. And there was light. Moses again, something too. You understand what I'm talking about? And he went on down into the second day. And he heard a voice again. To let me watch underneath the earth, divide from white the earth. Moses again. You understand? Ain't that right? Just like John out on the Isle of Patmos. He's hearing and he's seeing. You understand what I'm talking about? And if what Moses wrote down was true, then it's got to be confirmed by John on the Isle of Patmos. John said, this out there on the Isle of Patmos. Said, and the earth was surrounded by water. So say Moses, in the life, in the beginning of his vision. It doesn't mean in the beginning of the creation, but it's the beginning of the vision.
Yes,
you understand what I'm talking about?
No,
that's not the beginning of creation.
Right.
The creation of the heavens and earth, that's not the beginning of creation.
Right.
But well then, if that's not the beginning of creation, then what is the beginning of creation? You understand? I want you to see what the actual beginning of creation was. When God, Yahweh, was spirit and incomprehensible, you can't see him, you can't hear him, you can't taste, you can't smell nothing. Therefore, if you can't perceive that it's there, you understand? You can't give no description of it at all. Ain't that right?
Mm-hmm.
But he himself had to take on shape and form. And that is the Elohim that you got to have down up there, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's this up here, this shape and form, which comes from pure spirit. Ain't that right? And he takes on that shape and form. And he had to take on that shape and form before he began to create anything.
Right.
Ain't that right? And Moses now is seeing him there. He sees him first. Ain't that right?
Mm-hmm.
In this shape and form. Let's see how that figures out, right? Then, if that's true, that Moses saw him first, you understand? And he sees the earth surrounded by water there. I'm talking about Moses now, you see. Then for John to verify and to confirm it, he can't see nothing different.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? Yeah. And Moses said, oh, water, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. No, the earth was inundated or surrounded by water. Ain't that right? That's what Moses saw in the beginning of his vision. Ain't that right? Of the creation of the physical heaven and earth. You understand? Now we test the validity of the story. And now here is John. You understand? He's got to be in a self-same condition. John is on the Isle of Patmos, and the Nile certainly is that which is surrounded by water. As Moses said in the beginning, that it, the earth was surrounded by water. Ain't that right? And he heard him speak. Heard that voice from heaven. John is out here on the Isle of Patmos, as I told you, to verify and to confirm. So he got to be on an island surrounded by water. I just got to tell you that Moses saw him in a vision there as a man. You understand? And there, Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Now John here said, in the repetition to that, said he heard a voice behind him. Ain't that right? And so he said he turned to see the voice. Ain't that right? And spoke with him. That he heard from heaven. You understand? He turned to see that he saw the self same thing that Moses, Satan, seen when he was up in the mountain. You understand? And he is out there on the Isle of Patmos. You understand? And now, here it goes on down to confirm everything that was done. You understand? And as we go on down and we see that what Moses has written and what John has written in the book, and the things, as we told you, that shall be hereafter. We're showing you how it was nothing else but just a constant repetition over and over and over. When John turned around there, and Moses, you see, said he saw the tabernacle, said he saw the sanctuary up there,
yeah.
And he was told to make that, isn't that right?
Yeah.
And now, here, John describes him, said he had, this is a sanctum or sanctum, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Just like this is a transfiguration of it. And now, John's on the Isle of Patmos, said his eyes were as flames of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that right? And his feet as burnished brass. And when you look at that, at the outer court here, you see them vessels brazen off in the brazen, you understand? Down at the feet there, you understand? And what Moses is seeing, and when he was told to make that tabernacle, or make that, because it is a pattern or a figure of heavenly things, you understand what I'm talking about? And so Moses made it just like it was. So then, this is him transfigured, so that his feet has got to be the feet of burnished brass. And then when John looked at him, he saw him walk in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Somebody said, well, listen, Doc, I want you to come on up out of the Old Testament. You see what I'm talking about? I want you to read to me over here in the New Testament. Well, I beg your pardon. You just don't understand what the New Testament is. You don't understand no part of it because this is as far over you get now. And John said that he saw him walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and he had the seven stars in his right hand. Ain't that right? You understand what I'm talking about? And he said, now, John, what you see, you write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which is in Asia. There comes the devil now. You understand? And then he come and say that John, and he was not elected the second pope after the death of Peter, you understand? But it was Linus and so forth and so on. And you don't see where God told him to send his manuscript to the Vatican to have it imprimatur by anybody there. He said, send it to the seven churches which is in Asia. Ain't that right? That's what the voice of heaven from heaven said, send it to. Ain't that right? And that's where John sent it, was to the seven churches in Asia. Now sometimes I wonder why then he said send it to the seven churches which is in Asia. And now then, for that reason, we had that map drawn out there and done. You understand? So that you could see why it's the seven, he sent it to the seven churches in Asia. And just before he ascended, he told him, he said, when you get back, you shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Well, we let him understand what the holy place is. Ain't that right? Now when you begin to change our body, it's not the power to go, it's the holy place here, and then you pass on through there and you go into the most holy place. And this is synonymous and symbolical to the throne of God, where John is hearing the voice coming from heaven. You understand? And now he stands in John's room, the holy place here. Say, now when you get it all figured out, according to the geographical maps of the earth, that whole spring again. You understand? And then he went on to Babylon. Ain't that right? The papers say, the devil said he didn't go to Babylon. They say he went to Rome. Ain't that right? But there's a stone that was cut loose in the mountain. It rolled on down through Babylon, down through Medo Persia, Grecia, and on down into Rome. Ain't that right? And when Messiah was telling Peter about when he was young, he girded himself and he went where he wanted to. But when he was old, that he would be girded by someone else and took someplace where he didn't want to go. Ain't that right? You see what I'm talking about? And there, if you look up the history of it, you find that Peter was in Mary Mark's house. Ain't that right? The mother of John Mark. And I don't have time to go into all of the story. You see what I'm talking about? But it has been predetermined. You understand? Back in the prophecy, that Peter was to go to Babylon. You understand? And so Mark girded Peter, and he took him on into the head of that thing. You understand? And that head is a this head here. You understand? Took him on into the head. Took him on into Babylon, and Peter died there too. Ain't that right? And now here, the Apostle Paul. I told you about him. He went on to Rome. Ain't that right? John, he went to the Isle of Patmos. Now, if you look where the geographical location of the Isle of Patmos is, you'll find it in the chest cavity. Ain't that right? Mm-hmm. And that's where John was at. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard that voice from heaven saying, Rome. Ain't that right? And he was in the spirit and heard that voice saying, what you see right in the book of Genesis, it says, now that's in confirmation, as I've already told you, of what rulers had done and what rulers had seen. Do you understand? And now his life was preserved that he be on the Isle of Patmos. Do you understand? And cleared up so that Genesis, Revelations, and all of that would come together. Do you understand? And it would be a confirmation that this whole entire revelation, do you understand, from Genesis to Revelation, that means the origin, the beginning, and the end. And there wouldn't be no foolishness in operation and its function. And now, when I saw and I understood in the vision that I see, then it was contrary to what I had in my mind. So then I had to go on back, and I had to show you that I saw the same vision that Moses saw. I saw the same vision that John saw on the Isle of Patmos. And I come to impart it to you in the closing of this dispensation and in the closing of this age. And it's up to you whether you want to believe it or not. You understand? And the things that I say to you, I know good and well that theologians are not going to believe me any more so than the Sanhedrin Council believed the Messiah and the Apostles in those days. But nevertheless, it is true. Ain't that right? And so now I want you to see here how this chart is made. You see, so that you can see at what moment is seen about building a sanctuary, what she's seeing about the figure here. You understand? And I want to bring it on down through the ages so that you can see. Now, we talked about Moses seeing and hearing that voice from heaven. You understand? It's got to be confirmed. You see what I'm talking about? Moses, back there, hearing. Listen close. You see, because it's hard to utter. That's the reason why Paul said, I knew a man above 14 years ago that was adopted up to the third heaven and heard a thing impossible for a man to utter if the Holy Spirit don't utter it through me. You understand? I can't utter it to save my life. That education is insufficient and inadequate. Ain't that right? And then neither can you understand it. You understand? Unless you give some attention to it. You can't fool with the baby and think about the biscuits or something you left on the stove. You're not going to do too well even after you have listened close and tried to understand. Right. You understand? You're not going to do too well at that. You see what I'm talking about? But I want you to see, and I want you to understand. And I want you to understand the vision that was given to me to confirm what Moses and all of the prophets in John on the Isle of Patmos. And I want you to see how it fits together with unerring accuracy. And I have said repeatedly, time and time again, if what God had seen showed me in a vision, if it didn't confirm what the rest of them said, it wasn't no good. Right. But if it confirmed it, you can't deny it. And the same thing will judge you in the last day. Right. Ain't that right? You see what I want? And I'm trying to give you an opportunity to accept. And I'm telling you all the time that out here in Christian do, they're not going to allow you to preach and to teach like this at all. You understand? Because, first of all, they don't know themselves what they're talking about. You understand what I mean? So now, here, if God told Moses to make all things according to the pattern which was shown him in the mount, ain't that right? And so now, Moses, when he come down out of the mount, he made everything according to that pattern which was shown him on the mountain. You understand? And that pattern was the tabernacle, the sanctuary. It had a most holy place. It had a holy place in the outer court. Now it was threefold. One, two, three. And that was a pattern. And listen, it's a pattern and figure of everything that there is in existence. It don't make no difference what it is. God and the creation. That's a pattern of it. You understand? And if you don't understand that, you don't know what it's all about. It don't make no difference where you come from. It don't make no difference about your credentials. And it don't make no difference about your education. You don't know what it's all about. You understand? You just don't know. That's all there is to it. You understand? And now I've said that. And when I speak, I've spoken. You understand what I'm talking about? So we need to go into it. You understand? My God told Moses to make. You heard that voice. Now you make it. Like I told you, heard that voice from heaven, you understand? You make it like I told you. No sooner than Moses had descended the mountain, you understand? He saw him down there worshiping the golden calf. Ain't that right? You understand? Moses threw down the tables of stone and broke the tables of stone. Somebody said he broke the law and then he broke the tables of stone. You understand? He broke the tables of stone and he said he broke the law. Ain't that right? You see what I'm talking about? Let me go on by the way. Then Moses began to tell them, making a long story short, how the temple, you see, in a mountain, that fence was supposed to be constructed, and how it was supposed to be built. And there they been taken in court down at the foot of the mountain, and they thought they knew so much about architecture and how to build new construction work more than Moses. God showed Moses, and began to tell Moses that the thing you're talking about is wrong. Don't build it like this. Moses didn't have time to fool with him. He wasn't going to just get Drew and I and said, now whoever's on the large side, said you get them on this side, and whoever's on Asian Jason and Corsa, get them on the other side. And when they stepped over on the other side, Eric stepped over and got them swallowed them up. And Moses went on and built it the tabernacle, just like God had shown him and told him in the vision. Ain't that right? And so now what we're talking about now, everything in existence from the act. From everything. Paul said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody's got no excuse for not knowing something about God as it really is. Ain't that right? God is threefold. That is to say, he's Yahweh, Elohim, and Yahshua. You understand what I mean? Yes, we have it up on the board here. And as he said, now we come in his Father's name. I want to touch this, you understand? And his Father's name was Yahweh. You understand? And when he took on shape and form, that's what you see here in the vision. That's Elohim. That's in Yahweh in shape and form. Right. You understand? In shape and form. And then Moses looked at him and he saw him in shape and form. Appeared in the mountain. And he said that God You understand? You have in your Bible. But it isn't true. He said, he made the man in his own likeness and in his own image. You understand? So if he's going to make him in his likeness and his own image, you understand? You understand? Then if his name was Yahweh, and if he come in his father's name, then don't you see? Yah, here, you got to be Yah, Shaddah. This is what you call Jesus. You understand? But you see, he can't be called Jesus because God is his father's name, you understand? And he comes in his father's name. And his father's name is Jesus Christ. There's no part of it. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just getting the tree straight. You can have it if you want it. You can just turn it down. If you don't want it, it's all right with me. You understand what I'm talking about? And then he said that man, he heard, Moses said, he heard God say, let us make man in our own likeness and in our own image. Ain't that right? Trust in God here in the three, both the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And if man is made in his own likeness and in his own image, you understand, which Moses said that he was, then you've got to be in the likeness and image of God. That is to say, you've got to be pneumocytic in some soul, body, and spirit. Ain't that right? Just like he was. Then when you go on down into atomic research and on down into geology and on down into paleontology and anything, any kind of science you want to talk about, you understand? And then you'll find in the atoms, ain't that right? You will find that a carbon and a silicon and a magnesium atom, it is a proton and a neutron and an electron. You understand what I'm talking about? Every spark of matter is shaped and formed as it is to reflect the Godhead in nature. And that's why the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Moses made the tabernacle. It was threefold. Noah made the ark, and it was three stories. Ain't that right? Mm-hmm. And so now Noah had heard that voice from heaven too. Ain't that right? Mm-hmm. Say, Noah heard the voice from heaven. Said, make me an ark, the end of all flesh. Let's come, but that voice comes with the strength from heaven. Ain't that right? And then he told him just how to make it. Ain't that right? And so Noah built that ark, three stories. Constructed parts is in that tabernacle. Ain't that right? And that's why they have to be in heaven. That's why they have to be in heaven. That's why they have to be in Noah's ark. That's why they have to be in the tabernacle at Moses' name. That's why they have to be in the temple. Ain't that right? You don't have no excuse at all. Ain't that right? God has eliminated and abolished every excuse, you understand, that you can have. And let me say this. In the beginning of that migration, when Moses brought the children of Israel, in the beginning, you understand? Now listen, let me close here, because you've never heard this before, you understand? In the beginning, when they put the blood on each side of the lintel of the door at the Passover down in Egypt, you understand? It was dark down there when they put that on there, you understand? And Moses heard that voice and told him that, you understand? That voice from heaven, and he told him about this Passover. Ain't that right? And he told him, the Jewish, he had told him, the Jewish, put the blood on each side of the lintel of the door and up over the post. Ain't that right? And Moses prepared that Passover according to that voice that he heard from heaven. Ain't you see what I'm talking about? And that's before Israel left that. You understand? And it was dark down in Egypt. You understand? Now watch this thing. Watch it close. So you can see, because I'll be on over in Revelation 11:8. Get it for me, somebody. Because John has got to see the self same thing. I want you to see the half darkness confirming that which was written. And Messiah, when he was walking around in the place, he was fulfilling what Moses and the prophets had said. And John, he talked to all the other time. And all the whole thing is just time. everybody in together. You see what I'm talking about? And it's a thing that the ministry don't understand today. You understand? Any more so than it is out here before. You understand? And it is the way that God has prepared to judge the world in Bison by that man whom he hath ordained. That is to say, the man whom he had ordained fulfilled every job and every tittle of it and passed it out of the way and made a fool out of the wise. You understand? And the smart voice that was dealing in the mind. In that, you understand? And when they moved them carnal on the world out here, the papacy and the Protestant churches too is going on deep down in the things that was under the old covenant. Ain't that right? Second water baptism. Put one here, sir. One came out. That's all it is. But I heard the voice from heaven. You got that said. You understand what I saw? John is out on the outer path, and I want you to see how he can turn this down here. Let me tell you the story about it here first before I move on, so you can see some reality in the story, and you can realize that it is not a fantastic tale about how he put that blood on each side of the middle of the door, and that man was slain down there. It was a figure, says John, that man that was slain before the foundation of the world in the purpose of God. You understand? Even before he made the man, he made the preparation for his restoration, because it's no surprise to God that the man fell, because he prepared the sacrifice to offer for his restoration and his redemption. Even before he made the work, and he put flexing down here in Egypt. Now listen, while I try to get into this chronologically and every other kind of way, this Passover down here, told him to draw a man with the first year, draw him out. You understand? And the first, this shall be the beginning of the month. Is that right? He told him to draw him out on the 10th of the month. Well, why did he tell him to draw him out on the 10th? You see what I'm talking about? Did you ever stop and think that the flood was 1 year and 10 days? Did you ever stop to think that after he tarried on earth part of the days and ascended into heaven, it was 10 days before the Holy Spirit was poured out? Did you ever stop to think about that? You understand what I'm talking about? Told him to draw him out on the 10th and then to offer him up on the 14th. Did you ever stop to think that this year is the seventh year, you understand, that it's operated, you understand? And this is the second time, so that this is the first time, and that seven is seven and seven. It used to make 14. You see what I'm talking about? So then take him on out of that and offer him up on the 14th, you see, because he first, I am slain, that's the first seven, you understand, before the foundation of the world. And this time here's a reflection of it, you see. So offer him up on the 14th. You see what I'm talking about? And so now it was dark down in Egypt when Moses put the blood on each side of the lintels of the door. And therefore, as putting that blood on each side of the lintels of the door, somebody get up and point out something around here, because I can't hold it all by myself. You understand? I'm telling you what God showed me in the mirror. And I'm telling you, I have never gotten over it yet. You understand? And I see the insufficiency and the inadequacy in all of the present day ministry, you see. And I know that they don't know what they're talking about, and they don't understand the vision and the revelation. You understand? If they did, then people could have something, and you wouldn't be staggering around and falling around and getting your foot off the rock up today and down tomorrow. You understand? And so now, when you put that blood over the lintel of the door, look, it was dark down here in Egypt, ain't that right? And this is called the Passover. Now, if you look right on to the Passover, Christ our sacrifice, Christ our Passover, he sacrificed for us. So when he hung out there on Golgotha, according to your Bible, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and is that right? When he hangs out there, it's got to turn dark over the face of the earth from the 6th to the 9th hour. And you see what I'm talking about? And that Adam was sinned, and Adam died. And understand? And then he here, the Redeemer, or the second Adam, when he died there, and everything died. You see what I'm talking about? Out there on the cross. And let me tell you, as it was dark down in Egypt, it's got to turn dark if it's going to be fulfilled. It's got to turn dark over the face of the earth from the 6th to the 9th hour. And there, they took him down off the cross, took him to Nicodemus, and made him dole from the new tomb. You now, in the earth, the rock of the earth, ain't that night, and rolled a stone up to the door. Now, if you go right on back in the creation tank, you'll find on the third day, you see what I'm talking about? The water! So down in the earth, ain't that right? And Mother Earth, she's in underneath, and she's buried in there, ain't that right? and the Spirit moved on the face of the water and impregnated Mother Earth with a seed of vegetation. And when the waters was rolled off of her, and what? The water down on the you understand? As if the stone broke away from Joseph's new tomb on the third day, and the seed of vegetation penetrated the soil on the third day. The seed of Abraham penetrated. Right, she come on up out of that grave on the third day. Ain't that right? You understand what I'm talking about? And so now you see the relationship of one thing to the other. And now here's God. It's certain life deserved. He's out on the Isle of Patmos to find out whether that is authentic or not, or whether it's a divine revelation from God or not. We told you that was Moses and them down in Egypt. And they told him to slay that lamb. I would use his blood, ain't that right? And when that passed over, when that angel passed over, listen, that man out, he said, from the firstborn of him that sat on the throne, of Pharaoh's son, and everybody where the blood was not, since then they were killed, both man and beast, is that right?
Right.
Now let's see what John has to say about it, because he's out here on the Isle of Patmos, and he's looking at it, and he's told that what he sees, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches, which is in Asia. Now, and let's see how he collaborates with Revelation, Bethany, New Pacific,
and that dead body is
in the
light
of the street, shall lie in the street
of the great city,
of the great city,
with spiritually.
With spiritual. I told you the man was in the spirit.
Yeah.
He was in the realm of eternity. Yeah. You understand? He's looking back, you understand? And he said what has happened yet.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
And he said that dead body shall lie in the streets of the great city, with spiritual.
Yeah.
It's called Sodom and Egypt. Read.
With spiritually it's called Sodom and Egypt.
Yeah.
Where also our Lord was
crucified. While also our Lord was crucified. So the offering up of that pastor lamb was signifying the offering up the Lamb of God out on the arm door. You see what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean now?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And John is out there on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, spiritually, where also our Lord was crucified in Sodom and in Egypt. You understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Now there we have a confirmation of that. You understand? And John just writing down what he heard and what he saw. You understand? Now let's move on a little further. And now we talked about, if you understand, we talked about Moses seeing the heavens and earth come into existence. Ain't that right? You understand now? I want you to see. And I can hear that voice. Ain't that right? And notice, now listen close, because you'll get lost.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because it's hard for me to earth. Ain't that right? Now I want you to take 10:4 now.
Right.
You understand? Back up to Revelation 10:4. Now ain't Moses see the cloud covered the mountain six solar days. Ain't that right? And I told you that God didn't create nothing in the realm of time. He created in eternity.
Right.
Ain't that right? And that was 1490 years after they come out of Egypt to power, when the earth and heavens and everything was already created. It's just nothing else but a rerun. And he's showing it to Moses in a vision out here. And so in the beginning of the vision, he saw that the heavens and earth were surrounded by water. Ain't that right? And so he hears that voice from heaven saying, let there be light. And light is divine. And he says, on the second day, you understand? And on the third day, and on the fourth day, the fish, everything is divided up. Look at Genesis, and you can see what it has talked about. No theologian that I've ever come in contact with, no commentators that I've ever come in contact with, was able to tell me why did God divide the light from the darkness, and why he divided the water from above and the water beneath, and why God divided the fish and the sea from the birds and the animals, and why God divided the second. Ain't that right? You understand what I'm talking about? They ain't never been able to tell me nothing about him because they don't know nothing about the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know that he is himself the archetype fellow. And he is functioning. You understand? And as I said before, he's the same God. He's an up-to-date God. And he's continuing to function just that way. In the erring accuracy. See? And there's nothing that has been in the past or what is in the future. There's nothing in the future but what is in the past. You see what I'm talking about? Because God inhabits eternity and he is eternal. You understand what I'm talking about? And he doesn't go by days and months and whatnot. You understand? It's the man and the prophecy that he spoke of. But that's not here. Moses hears him say, let there be light and let that voice from heaven. You understand? And he hears that voice from heaven talking about each one of these 7 days, did you get there?
Mm-hmm.
Now here's John on the Isle of Patmos, Revelation 10:4, and let's see what he's got to say about it. All right, read Revelation 10:4. We've got to get the confirmation of these things. Somebody find it quick and read it.
And when the seventh thunder,
you understand, each one of these days, God thundered his voice off of Mount Sinai, said, let this be, and let that be. And he said, you understand? And the next day, he thundered his voice on that, and John is out there, you understand, to see and to hear that repetition of it, you understand? And he heard the seven thunders under their voices, you understand? And then what happened?
I was about to write.
And John said, since you told me what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which is in Asia. And John said, when he heard the seven thunders utter their voice, he said, I was about to write, and then something happened. What happened?
Now here is one.
And I heard a voice. You understand? I heard a voice. You understand? All right, be not. From that time, in other words, he was born, Messiah was born in the 4,000 years, and he didn't have but 2,000 years to get down to the... And so the time is at hand, and nearly 1,932 years of that is gone, you understand? And he sat right face to face with God in eternity, you understand? And my aim is to wake you up, and I want you to see that the reality of God is living today as it was then. And I want you to know that it's just as vivid in me as it was in Moses and in the prophets. You understand what I'm talking about? And all those patriarchs, yes, Abraham after the flood. Now we've told you about Noah hearing the voice from heaven. Now here comes Abraham. You understand? He heard that voice from heaven. You understand? Abraham, I'm talking about. He said, get on out from among your kinfolk and go out of the land of Ur and go on to a land that I'll show you. He said, and Abraham moved on out by faith. They said, and he heard that voice from heaven. You understand what I'm talking about? And that voice from heaven just walked back up before me and be thou perfect. And so he went on to promise Abraham's son. Ain't that right? I have time. I got to cut it up short. He promised Abraham a son. Ain't that right? By his wife, said, Abraham, an old man. You understand? Well, it's sticking in air. Ain't that right? And the seed of fertility was dead. It was in his body. And Sarah, see, bear. Ain't that right? You understand from birth. But nevertheless, that voice from heaven had promised him a son. And Abraham believed God. And it was promised. You understand? And he didn't stay at the promise at all. Ain't that right? You see what I'm talking about? For that I can take through the long Abraham was typical of God's modern time. Ain't that right? Now you understand what I'm talking about? Now that's another dispensation. Now we move on down to the next episode. We move on down here to the Tower of Babel. You understand? Let's see, see what that's all about. Now, God confirmed that truth, ain't that right? And told him that voice from heaven said he wouldn't drown the world by water anymore. That voice from heaven, that's what he said, promised, ain't that right? And he showed the rainbow out there. And you see what I'm talking about? Out there, put his bow in the sky with his seven prisoners. Ain't that right? And told him that he wasn't going to drown it no more by water. And so now, Noah believed, ain't that right? Offered up a sacrifice, but his posterity, you understand? Now in Nimrod, and then John said, so we ain't gonna take no chance on it. You see what I'm talking about? And they were what to build up the power of that, ain't that right? That God said he wasn't gonna do it. But listen here, so we can't take no chance on that. You understand? Just like the people don't want to take no chance on nothing that God said. And they're gonna do it yourself, do it their way, you understand? And so then they went to what? To build that tower. And then there comes that thought from heaven, you understand? Let us go down and right and continue the tongue. That boy speak down there, and then there comes what continues. I don't have time to stop there either, ain't that right? But while I am there, I just touch that, and then you just step over there and pin it off. You see what I'm talking about? Now, at Pentecost, the same God that spoke from heaven, and we unconfused their tongues. You see what I'm talking about? And they said, here we have a man speaking our own tongue, man, we were born. You understand? That self-same God, you see, and that voice that we hear from heaven, by, here it comes on down, and here this voice from heaven comes on down and speaks to Mary and to... Elizabeth, ain't that right? You told her.